Welcome back to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. You don't have to be a deep woods hiker or an avid outdoors person to get Lyme disease. Deer ticks, which carry the disease, can be found in tall grasses, leaf litter, or stacks of damp wood. Even gardening can expose you to this tiny insect. And because it's no bigger than a freckle or a poppy seed, it's not always easy to spot. But if it's infected and it bites you, the consequences can be serious.
Dr. Cynthia Morrow is the Onondaga County Health Commissioner and has seen the incidence of Lyme disease increase in the central New York area in the years since she's been with the health department. She's here to explain everything we need to know about diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of Lyme disease. Welcome to Take Care, Dr. Morrow.
Thanks so much for having me.
Lyme disease makes hundreds of thousands of people sick every year. It's on the rise. Yet just a decade ago, we didn't hear all that much about it. What's going on and how concerned should we be?
Well, unfortunately, Lyme disease is a really tricky disease. It is treatable, but it's a difficult disease. And the reality is that in central New York, we did not have Lyme disease 10 years ago, but unfortunately, now it is part of our ecology and it's here to stay.
Why don't you tell us what exactly is Lyme disease? How is it transmitted?
Sure. So Lyme disease is a bacterial infection. And what happens is that field mice are the primary reservoir for Lyme disease. Ticks get infected through the field mice, and then they in turn infect deer, dogs, cats, and us. And for people, what happens is we get infected after getting bitten by a tick, and typically the first symptoms are flu-like symptoms. We hear that all the time. But then classically what will happen in about 80% of the people who are infected, they'll develop a rash, a very specific bullseye lesion. And it's really critical that people, one, take the steps to prevent Lyme disease, and two, if they do get Lyme disease, get seen immediately for antibiotics.
I think one of the things that's tricky about it is that not everybody knows at the time they get it. For instance, if they do get a tick bite, which they probably don't feel, they may not see a rash. And it's only after certain symptoms develop, like pain in the joints and other neurological symptoms, that they even realize. I mean, that's what brings them to the doctor. And you're just hoping that doctor is smart after a while and tests for Lyme disease. Is that your experience?
Well, I think absolutely one of the challenges is the diagnosis. And I think that one of the things that's important for people to understand, there's a lot of confusion about the diagnosis. The blood tests can initially be negative. And so certainly we encourage physicians to be aware of the symptoms and the signs of Lyme disease and to err on the side of caution with respect to treatment. We want people, if there's a suspicion of Lyme disease, don't wait for the blood test. Go ahead and treat. The blood tests typically become positive after a couple of weeks. And so it's really important to have a low threshold for treatment if you suspect Lyme disease, because untreated Lyme disease, as you mentioned, you know, untreated Lyme disease can go on for weeks and even months.
If someone is experiencing flu-like symptoms and they pursue it with a doctor, let's say, sometimes I think when you think about rashes or pain that you may experience, if you associate it with a joint, like let's say you get a bite somewhere around the knee and it swells, then you think to yourself, oh, I might skip my primary care physician and go right to an orthopedist. Are you better off just going to a family doctor for a diagnosis?
Oh, I definitely think that for Lyme disease, you should start with your primary care provider, you know, whoever your primary care provider is. Most primary care providers in our community should understand that Lyme disease is part of our ecology. It is, as I mentioned earlier, it's here to stay. And primary care providers are certainly very capable of diagnosing and treating Lyme disease. Now, unfortunately, untreated Lyme disease can result in prolonged symptoms. And so, you know, untreated Lyme disease can go on for weeks, as I mentioned. And I think in that case, if it's complicated, I would still talk with your primary care provider. But a consultation with an infectious disease provider may be indicated.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
And we're joined today by Dr. Cynthia Morrow. We're talking about Lyme disease. And I wanted to ask you, I know this isn't a veterinary program, but just the other day, I found a deer tick on my dog who's already had Lyme disease. Linda's dog has had Lyme disease as well. One of the questions, I know I can't catch Lyme disease from the dog, but one thing I wondered about, can a dog bring in a tick that hasn't really fastened into their skin? And can it casually fall off somewhere in your house and just crawl over to a human being?
Oh, yes. You know, we have a dog, and our dog has been infected as well, even though we use the medications, and we certainly support people protecting themselves and protecting their animals. And we have seen ticks on her dog bed, and if a tick doesn't attach and is crawling around your house, it certainly can find you. And so, you know, we don't think that that's a huge risk. The biggest risk is going out hiking, going out in long grass, spending a lot of time outdoors, but certainly people need to take care of their pets, and they should do whatever they can do to minimize the ticks coming into the home by using the tick repellents on their dogs.
I think years ago, people might think you could only get Lyme disease from a deer tick if you were out in the woods, and as Linda said earlier, but even in suburbia, we have a cat who pretty much stays in a fenced-in backyard, and he came in with a deer tick. I mean, these deer ticks, obviously, they can travel. I'm not saying they go long distances, but would you say that part of the increase is that we're seeing them more and more in other settings?
Well, it's hard for me to say that because we don't have good data to support that. We do know that the State Health Department does tick sweeps in certain parts in high-risk areas like Green Lakes and some other areas. But anecdotally, we know that people are reporting that they've gotten ticks within their yard. Now, again, I don't have good data to support that, but it makes sense. There are ticks everywhere, and yes, there's a higher risk in the traditional wooded, grassy areas, but they can get into yards. Now, there are a lot of things that people can do to prevent Lyme disease. So there are things that they can do to themselves. They can wear long pants, tuck them in, wear tick repellent when you're going out in high-risk areas, take a shower. When I am doing gardening in an area where I know that the tick exposure is greater, I'll come in, take a shower, so that if there are any ticks, they can actually wash off before they're embedded, and then, of course, do a tick check. But people can also do things to minimize the risk in their yard. So clean up the leaf litter, make sure that you keep your grass cut shorter. And there are a lot of recommendations that are available on the CDC website about what people can do to minimize their risk. The most important thing is minimize your risk for exposure and know what the symptoms are, because the earlier you get treatment, the better off you'll be.
Let's talk about that treatment. What is the current treatment for Lyme disease?
The current treatment for Lyme disease is antibiotics, and of course, individuals should talk with their providers about which is the best antibiotic for them. But it is a treatment, it's an antibiotic course. Depending on when it's diagnosed, the length of treatment may vary. But they should really talk to their providers. And again, the critical thing is to try to prevent it. But if you have symptoms, fever, headache, body aches, and then, of course, that rash in the beginning, you must see a physician and get on those antibiotics. If it's later and you have the arthritis, neurologic symptoms, definitely you must see a physician and get that diagnosis and get treatment.
Dr. Morrow, thanks so much for joining us. You've provided us with valuable information, and we appreciate it.
Oh, thanks so much for telling people about this.
Dr. Cynthia Morrow is the Onondaga County Health Commissioner. For more information on Lyme disease, visit the Take Care webpage at WRVO.org.
On next week's show, if your child is struggling with mental health issues, how do you navigate the system and get the help you need? A national mental health advocate and a parent who's been there will give us advice.
Plus, vaccinations aren't just for kids anymore. Many adults are getting vaccinated, and it goes well beyond an annual flu shot. Who's getting vaccinated and why? We'll talk to an expert from the Centers for Disease Control. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
And until next time, take care.
The information presented on Take Care is offered for educational and informational purposes only and should not be construed as personal medical advice. You should consult with your personal physician or caregiver regarding your own medical care. Take Care is a production of WRVO Public Media, written and produced by Lorraine Rapp and Linda Lowen, edited and engineered by Leah Landry. Catherine Loper is executive producer. Support for Take Care comes from the Health Foundation for Western and Central New York.